So feel free to make a contribution, but anything even as much as a subscribe and a like to this video is highly appreciated. Please like the video and subscribe so we can get onto the algorithm and get lots of viewers tonight.
Yes, actually, that'd be great. If you guys can like the video and share, that'd be amazing. We hit 5,000 subscribers. We haven't talked about that.
Hey!
We hit 5,000 subscribers. We are not, you know, we're not as active, I think, as we should be on YouTube. We probably should make this like a 2023 goal
where we spend more time on the community tab, posting more stuff.
Because it is a really good app and they are going to monetize all the reels. If I'm not mistaken, they're doing something pretty big, right? Is that what they said? They're going to monetize their shorts, I think, starting January 2023. Okay. And they're just trying to compete with TikTok, which is why they are ramping up their support for content creators. It's really hard to grow anywhere unless you are active every single day, as we know. Same thing with Instagram. You want to grow Instagram, you have to post a couple times a day, engage on your story, engage with your followers and stuff like that. So, it's interesting.
Georgia Stage Rage, shout out to y'all. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
How do you say it? Aisa? Is that Aisa? Thank you, Aisa, so much for your contribution to our channel. So Reina says
that I was asked to distribute campaign material as a poll worker. It was a guide for Democrats. The inspector's boss wanted me to distribute this outside of the room and the space where the shoot is located. I had my auntie call the GOP poll watchers to come out and talk to me. Wow.
Absolutely. No, thank you, Robert Lee, thank for your you, contribution. Lee. No había ola roja, pero habían otros éxitos.
That's true. So Robert says there's no red wave, which is true. It was more of a splash, and we definitely have that in the programming today. But there was a lot of wins that people are not talking about because we always want to focus on, well, we lost Pennsylvania with, you know, Fetterman and Dr. Oz and all this stuff. There has been a lot of changes. Like, New York is one of those places that is a purple state. New York is no longer a deep blue state. New York gained a lot of momentum, or a lot of seats, actually, in the legislative in the state assembly, as well as the state house.
And also, like, the local ones here, right? Like, I know that even in Broward County, they had some seats that flipped out to conservative on the school board. So, you know, everybody's looking at the big, the Senate races, of course, and with good reason, but slow progress is still progress. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of smaller offices all over the country that flipped. You know, I was, today I probably posted a screen grab of a post that Scott Pressler had put out back in August.
Yes.
So back in August, first of all, for those of you who don't know who Scott Pressler is, Where have you been? So Scott Pressler is probably by far, I would say, one of the most active, grassroots driven activists.
Right.
He has spent the last four or five, more than that, years traveling the country, doing cleanups in places, in Democrat ran cities, and registering voters all over the country. Mm-hmm. So his thing is registering voters. I always say, joking around, that he probably holds the world record for registering the most voters single-handedly. Right. And it probably isn't an exaggeration. And he's got a pretty good idea of what it is that the ground sounds like because he's out there all the time.
Right.
And in November, Scott Pressler made a statement that said, I do not expect.
It says, what it says, September 5th, 2022. Mm-hmm. I don't think there'll be a red wave, maybe a trickle, except Arizona, Florida, and Nevada. It isn't looking good. People tell me I would give up everything for this country. Those same people will knock on doors or become election day workers. Unless voters do something, I see no wave. And he got a lot of crap for this tweet. Mm-hmm. And even that big account, it's like a meme. I wouldn't say it's a meme account, but it's definitely an anonymous account, the Cattered, right? He wrote down, I forgot exactly what he wrote, but it was kind of like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're being negative. And Scott is someone that is actually like, boots on the ground all year long, traveling through states, not only registering people, but he also teaches organizations or locals how to register people to vote and how to go out there and canvass and knock on doors and everything that has to do with grassroots activism. This is someone that has not been recognized by the Republican Party of anywhere, not of Florida, not of Georgia, not of Wisconsin, and also the RNC. This is someone that should be elevated. Somebody that Ronna McDaniel, she's so terrible. The chairwoman of the GOP should be recognizing, should be working Absolutely. With, should be saying, hey, this is a grassroots activist, self-funded by the people, and we should be working with him. But instead, they ignore, and we'll have a conversation about the terrible losses of the GOP and how they do not take activists and influencers into consideration except their jerk-off circle, as I posted yesterday. And I'm not trying to be bitter. It's not that I'm bitter or that I want to work with these people or they should recognize me or anything. It's just they don't understand strategy. They just don't. Like, I'm not trying to be bitter. I'm not trying to be like...
Well, the thing is that they're still stuck in politics from, you know, there's a time prior to 2020, and pre-Trump era was a different kind of politics.
Right.
And right now, when you've got
there's
Democrats,
a civil war.
You know, inviting influencers with 8 million plus followers into the White House, you have to consider it's because they're trying to take over the culture.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? By using regular ass people to do that. You know,
I don't, you know, somebody said, Cassandra, it's because he's gay. I don't necessarily think that it's because he's gay at all, because they elevate people like Rick Grenell to an untouchable status that you can't even like talk back to, because he's literally accused women of being like homophobic. He's done it. I've seen it. I have screenshots. They've elevated Rob Smith to some pedestal. I don't think it's necessarily like that. It's just that the DNC has the same thing. It's like this boys club, like this yeah. group. It's here in Miami as well. Like, the local GOP does not look at Isabella and I or other activists, influencers, social media personalities, whatever you want to call it.
Even they like don't look at us.
They don't look at us like somebody that they want to partner with. They don't see it that way. They only see what's best for them. They never want to work together. We've reached out to Otaola. We have great respect for Otaola, a huge influencer here in Miami, activist. He's not gotten back to us at all. He's in it.
But I just don't think that the GOP works with him either. And he's a huge influencer. No. And they
he's
don't.
Not. He's not.
You know, to go back to Scott's tweet, I used it today because I ran a poll on Truth Social yesterday where I asked individuals, you know, clearly everybody's complaining about the fact that there was a lack of a red tsunami like people expected. And I asked people, how many of you campaigned this year? How many of you knocked on doors? How many of you, you know, joined a phone bank? 81% of people voted that they had not participated in these processes. One of the most effective ways to get a vote out, and also the most cost effective when you break it down by how many doors they have to knock and how many responses they get and how many people actually show up to vote.
Right.
Door knocking is by far the single most effective way to get people out to vote. People complain about rhinos, right? Oh, we've got, you know, I voted Republican all the way down the line, but I can't believe I had to vote for, I don't know, Marco Rubio or Marian Vida or somebody that you guys consider to be a rhino and not truly supportive of the conservative movement. But nobody moved. We had a 21% voter turnout in Miami-Dade for the primaries. The primaries is where we fight the Uniparty.
Right.
The Uniparty isn't fought in November. By that point, we already have what we're going to have, and we're stuck with it, and we got to deal with it. The primaries are the time to actually fight for that.
Right.
There's a couple of contributions.
Jeremiah Batista, thank you so much for your contribution. We truly appreciate it
because we are self-funded. Adam Silva, hey ladies, we have a $50 contribution. Thank you so much, Adam. Hey ladies, thank you for your continuing hard work. Much of the Miami, Florida is all due to you. Happy to be in the anti-lizard people
club. It's true. You think that the GOP has done anything? Let me start off with saying this.
We got a couple more. Just one last one. Dom, we have a $5 contribution. And he says, you both owe yourself a pat in the back. The result in Miami is due in part to how you guys helped affect the culture. That's the playbook. And Robert Lee, $2. Ron DeSantis, mató woke culture. He sure enough did.
Yeah. So let me start off by saying that Miami-Dade obviously has been a deep blue Democratic stronghold for the last 20-something years. There's also been a lot of discrepancies in voting in Broward County. And as I showed on my story in 2018, people still don't like to talk about DeSantis and what happened to him then. Trump brought it up right now, starting the Civil War, whatever he's doing. But it's true. In 2018, when Ron DeSantis was a nobody, nobody knew who he was. He wasn't a star. People were just voting or whatever Trump said to do. That's what we all did. They kept counting votes for an entire week. An entire week. And all the votes were found in Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
Broward County. Trump sends the FBI, sends his people. They stop the count, finally say, we can't find any more votes for Andrew Gillum. We're going to declare Ron DeSantis the winner. So, Miami-Dade. Miami-Dade that has been extremely blue. What has the local GOP, which is composed of Cuban American refugees or the sons and daughters of Cuban American refugees, they love to talk about Padre Vida. They love to talk about Free Cuba. They have all these protests and all these things over in Calle Ocho, Little Havana, and this is what we're doing, and my people, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they have not been able to change Miami-Dade into a red county, having majority voters, allegedly, that side with their party,
mm-hmm.
having, even 2 years ago, Carlos Jimenez, who's now a congressman, was our mayor, and he was a Republican. How do you explain that? The party is ineffective. The party is old and dusty. That's why we call them the Dusties. The party has no culture. It's a boys and girls club, circle, jerk off circle. Mm-hmm. They don't want anybody to come in. Okay. Ileana Ross, she's like, what, 80 something years old? The head of the party is literally.
I feel like she was 100 years old when we were kids.
The head of the party in Miami is like 100 years old. How do you guys think that we can make any change with those type of people? Now that's Miami. Florida has another one of those Florida establishment GOP. And now you're talking about Washington, D.C. Well, that's a big monster. That's the monster that Trump is facing, or Trump was facing and still is facing. So all these Republicans that have been in Miami, Stephen Bobo in Hialeah, Francis Suarez, well, we know he's weak and whack.
Well, he's all a Democrat.
These people,
so.
all the Dusties, and they haven't done anything to accomplish what we have accomplished in the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. I feel like they're definitely seeing that it's getting away from them, right? I mean, on the same token, they're reaping the benefits of it regardless, because we're still doing the work for them, right?
Absolutely.
We're still putting in the hours. We're still creating the content. We're still driving the culture. Nobody at the REC is driving the culture right now.
Let me look at the numbers really quickly. DeSantis won 59.4% of the vote, while Charlie Crist got 40% of the vote. Big, big margin. Miami-Dade County is obviously on the spotlight, being that it's a 70% Latino population. Miami, Ron DeSantis got 11 points in Miami-Dade. In 2018, no, not yet, I'll tell you one. In 2018, he lost Miami-Dade by 20 points. Okay, so big, big deal for Ron DeSantis. He also won Palm Beach County, which has historically been a strong Democrat county. So this is what the map looks like now. Angel, please pull up our beautiful map of Florida, red Florida. Can you guys see the map? There it is. This is what the map of Florida looks like right now. Ruby red with very small blue dots. Tallahassee, I don't know what the hell that is, Orlando, and Broward County. Broward County being one of the most corrupt counties in the entire state of Florida.
Right.
completely
always
different
has been historically. Like, we're not just talking about 2022
no.
or 2020. Historically, in all of politics, in every presidential election that has ever taken place, mm-hmm. ever in the history of our company, of our country, since the inception of Broward County,
absolutely.
Broward County has always been involved in some form of questionable behavior when it comes to elections.
Orlando,
time and time again.
Orlando had an interesting win for the Democrats. They elected the first Gen Z congressman in the nation. His name is Max. He's a Latino. He's an Afro-Cuban socialist. Afro-Cuban socialist. Mm-hmm. Max Frost, I think is his name. He's going to Congress. He's the first Gen Z straight out of Orlando. Really, really interesting stuff. I don't know why Orlando's blue. I have no idea. I've never actually looked at the demographics. I do know there's a lot of Puerto Ricans
there. There's a lot of Puerto Ricans there.
But Puerto Ricans, overwhelmingly this time around, 50% of them actually voted, 50% more voted for Ron DeSantis and other Latinos as well.
So one of the things, while we're talking about Florida, I think that it's incredibly important to discuss, you know, the campaign that DeSantis ran on was very much centered and focused around parental choice. For the last 2 years, Linda and I have not shut up about the school boards, the importance of the school boards, how moms at school boards were driving politics, how nobody was going to be more pissed off than moms at school boards. And for the last 2 years, many people have told us, oh, it's just not even that important. Like, how is that relevant? What does that have to do? Just about every politician that took a win in Florida, just 2 days ago for the election, just about every single politician ran on a parental choice platform.
Yeah.
There is no fight nationwide that is more important than the fight for the children. And I'll tell you guys, everybody's been paying attention to the Senate races and to the congressional races and governors. And I get that, very important. We get that. But we've had a lot of local wins where a lot of school board seats got flipped this election cycle into conservative representatives. And that is not a coincidence. Mm-hmm. It's happening because there is a lot of civic involvement right now in these school boards happening all over the country. So politicians are going to respond to the people. If the people have spent the last 2 years showing their efforts focused on school boards, right? Because those are the people that are the most pissed off.
Yeah.
And this is where politicians have seen that has been, people are being driven to and demanding change and demanding accountability. Then that forced the politicians to make their platforms about parental choice. It wasn't the other way around.
No.
It wasn't that they made the platforms about parental choice and then that became an important issue to the voters. They based their entire platforms off parental choice because there was nothing more important, particularly here in Florida. And I think that says a lot about, you know, this what we've been talking about over the last 2 years of what is important to voters.
I do think that Florida is not a blueprint for the nation. And I think this is where conservatives get it wrong. And I'll say this. When I was in corporate, we had to strategize from a national level with any campaigns that we're launching for any of the brands under Heineken or Heineken itself. And then we had to strategize from a regional standpoint. And then we had to strategize from a local standpoint, from a state standpoint, from a local standpoint. The campaigns that I had to work on or the campaigns that I would create for Miami were completely different than those campaigns in California. Why? Because the Latino population is not the same. The Mexican Latinos are not the same as the Latinos in South Florida. We're talking about not just about Cubans. We're talking about Brazilians. We're talking about Colombians, Venezuelans, Nicaraguans, El Salvador. Miami is a melting pot of Latin America. It's pretty much the capital of Latin America. And so if Republicans or talking heads online, influencers are going to model or are going to try to say that Florida is an example, they're going to fail miserably because it's not. It's not. Democrats are still overwhelmingly getting the support from Latinos. Latinos still overwhelmingly throughout the entire nation, even on the border counties in Texas, still overwhelmingly supported Democrats. There's a lot of reasons why conservatives in South Florida are voting Republican. And one of the main ones that they're not talking about, because no one remembers Trump anymore. Nobody wants to talk about Trump. And I said it on my story.
About Trump.
I said it on my story. Trump is the reason why Miami is red now. Are we saying that Governor DeSantis had no involvement, or that his policies didn't get people to the vote? Of course not. Of course people voted for Ron DeSantis. They absolutely love him. Brought independents, brought moderate Democrats for a fact.
Right, but they voted for Ron because they see him as the extension of the America First movement created by Donald Trump.
Correct. But also, but let me say this. When did we see the biggest change in Miami-Dade County? 2020 shook everybody. Why? Because once again, and I've said it, I think 1,000 times on this podcast, Clinton won plus 30 points in Dade County. 30 points for Clinton. Biden only got 7 points. That's a huge margin of a difference. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump brought 100,000 more votes to Miami-Dade Republicans. On its own, flip 2 congressional seats from D to red. Maria Elvira Salazar, who re-won her campaign, Carlos Jimenez, who re-won as well. Those are all Trump. Those are all Trump people. Whether rhinos, not rhinos, doesn't matter. The point is that he drastically changed the political landscape of Miami-Dade County, and you know. Thereafter.
And the country.
It's
undeniable. Anybody who's here's the thing. And it's so frustrating to watch what's happening right now, right? Which is that it hasn't even been 48 hours since the polls closed. And already you have a huge fraction of MAGA Conservative Inc. turning on Donald Trump as if there's anything to turn away from. There is no movement without Donald Trump. The millions of people that showed up canvassing, the people that were doing rallies, the Latinos, the Blacks, the Chinese, the minorities, everybody that showed up for the Republican Party did not show up for the GOP. They showed up for Donald Trump. So it is to watch people toss Donald Trump aside as if though he is replaceable. It's like to make him think that he was just another candidate that we could just allow to have just one term, which by the way, we know what happened there, and that's going to be okay. It shows a lack of loyalty. It shows a lack of honor. Yeah. And overall,
even understanding I really dislike when people say to me that Trump can bring in independent voters and Trump can't win mostly independent voters or whatnot. And I say to them, Trump got 10 million more votes. He made huge strides with Blacks, with the LGBT male community, with the Latino community, with the Asian community. So I don't understand how it is that they can sit here. I can understand you saying, hey, I'm done past Trump. I think he's too old or whatever it may be, whatever your reasons may be. And I would rather have DeSantis or Kristi Noem. There's a lot of people that would rather see somebody else. I saw Candace Owens talking about Carrie Lake. I saw, I've seen different choices, Ron Paul, on a Ron Paul DeSantis ticket. It doesn't matter. It's your choice. It's your right to want whoever you want. My thing is, how could you be so dumb, right, for lack of a better word, how could you be so dumb to think that the guy that started it all now all of a sudden needs to take a step back and go away? Like, just go away.
It's just like, to me, how easy for you all to get psyoped, right?
Yeah.
And look, there's a couple. First of all, thank you, Lala, so much for your $5 donation to the channel. She says, well said, Bella. You know, I got my little tangent that I have to go off on. Somebody says loyalty, but yet threw DeSantis in a statement. And then Cassandra wrote, why is Trump going after Rondo? So confused. Here's the thing. For those of you that don't understand, the rumors and the speculation is that DeSantis is meeting with the Uniparty, with the Rhinos.
Right.
So what is happening right now, which a lot of people don't have the foresight to see, is that the minute that DeSantis jumps into the race, I don't think that DeSantis has the power to win, because this is MAGA country.
Right.
This is Trump country. So you have to understand that the only reasons why rhinos would want to throw somebody like DeSantis into the race and get behind him is to split the vote and weaken our party. This mm-hmm. isn't an attack on DeSantis. Yeah. I understand that Trump is a little rough around the edges, that he always has been, right. and that's why we love him. So, yeah, is he giving a little fawful warning right now to DeSantis? Right. Like, if you really want to do this, you have to understand it's not personal out of a fear for DeSantis or because he thinks that DeSantis is morally going against him. It's personal because it's once again an attack from the GOP against us.
Right.
They're attacking us. They're trying to split the vote by bringing in somebody that can form his competition, that could get somewhat close to being right. competition for Trump, which isn't the case, but just enough to split the vote. And if you've got the vote split between DeSantis and Ron, and you've got the vote split between the people who followed Lynn Wood and Flynn, and if you've got the vote split between the people that were anti-shot and the ones that weren't, before you know it, we don't have a party that can come right. together behind any candidate. And so, that's what the goal is.
So, you know, I agree with Maria Jose, which I think this is bad timing. I think we're still waiting on a runoff over in Georgia that people should be focused on, especially Trump and the GOP. I definitely agree that it makes him look weak, scared, you know, even petty. I would say that I don't think
it's
the greatest look right now, especially because he's not reading a room. And this is the problem that Trump's had ever since he left office, is that he's ill-advised. He doesn't have the best people around him advising him. He does not. He like, for example, with the entire pharmaceutical juice, you know, debate, whatever you want to call it, he's been booed before. People have told him, this is not working. This is not working. You need to stop saying that this was the greatest invention ever because you're not reading the room. And I'll be honest with you guys. We talked about it today privately. I said, you know, people like Anomaly and certain people on Twitter who keep saying that, oh, Trump, the vaccine salesman, this is so bad. Anomaly and people like that live in an echo chamber of online influencers who all retweet each other and all talk about the same thing. They don't live in reality, right? We have a red county, a MAGA county now in Florida, in Miami. You should have seen the amount of people that were waiting in line to get their little shot. You should have seen the amount of people that are still wearing a mask.
Why don't you tell them about
red red areas of Miami?
Why don't you tell them about the mega donor dinner that you went to, where the majority of the people there were double shot?
Right. I went to the mega donors.
We're talking about people that donate more than $1 million into these campaigns. And every single person there had the shot.
They were all talking about it.
It's what we've been saying for years.
There was literally three of us at the table, me, my friend, and somebody's wife, that didn't have the shot. Well, everyone else there, we're talking about filthy rich people that you've never heard of because they're so rich. They just live in Palm Beach and like you just don't know about them. They were all fully juiced up and fully loving it. And
this is always the argument that we were making. You know, when people like Anomaly started talking bad about Trump and turning on Trump and saying, oh, he's a shot salesman and all these other things. Bro, to the people that have been freedom keepers for way longer than 2020, to the people that have spent the last decade worried about shots, what's in them, medical freedoms, fighting for the rights while nobody else gave a shit because the average person did not care, did not know that shots weren't great, that they didn't go through the necessary studies, that they made people sick. Most of you did not know that. Those same people that were asleep to this entire time are now the ones that are so stuck on, oh, well, single issue. If Trump pushed the shots, then Trump is a bad guy. Bro, nobody cared, man. The one thing that Trump has always advocated for is freedom of choice. And I hate to break it to you guys, but the freedom keepers that have been fighting this fight for the last 20 plus years, the moms that woke up to dead babies after they went to go get their schedule, what those moms have been fighting for isn't to get rid of shots, isn't to make them illegal. Those moms have been fighting for freedom of choice. It's the same fight that Trump has been fighting for. It's why this conversation about the shots is so frustrating, because you always know who started caring in 2020.
Right. Well, Bella, just last week, there were people fighting me in a comment section. I think it was on a Charlie Kirk's comment section, where I pointed out that the same sudden adult syndrome has been happening to kids forever. And then you had people fighting in the comments, like, what are you talking about? The polio juice was saved humanity and this and this and that. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, like, my family is heavy conservative and my family is all juiced up. And you know, Marcelo, one of our friends, we talked about this. Latinos are hypochondriacs. Like, these people love, like, these people, mm-hmm. like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, when I saw Tropical Park, I want you guys to understand, if you're not from Miami, Tropical Park is located in Westchester, Miami. Westchester is Trump country. Okay, people are still protesting the election there.
They are still protesting.
They're literally, they're like, you drive by and you see like five people in the corner protesting the election on a random Saturday, like not planned, nothing. These people were waiting in line for hours to get that shot. For hours. And it's not because of Trump. That's just the Latino mentality. Like, they believe in this type of stuff. My family, paranoid, I was telling her, I go, yo, my family was like, they literally thought COVID was going to kill them. Like, I had to like tell my grandma, please take off your mask. You're embarrassing me at the restaurant. Like, this is...
Well, my family took the shot.
This is too much. Like, I'm freaking out. You're freaking me out. You, like, stop it. Because I didn't even go... I haven't gone to Colombia since 2019. Because I refused to go to a country where they were going to tell me what to do, wear a mask, get the shot, do this, take off my shoes, get the Clorox disinfectant. That's how my mom was. And I was like, I'm not visiting these people. I'm not visiting these people. I went to the rednecks. I found refuge in the rednecks. That's what I had to do in 2020 because the Latinos were out of control.
Yeah, so, I think that most people don't realize that it's like part of the reason why he touts it. And what I don't agree with it, bro. Like, I'm anti-shot. I didn't get it. Linda didn't get it. Am I a Trump loyalist? Yes, by all means. I love Trump Daddy and I always will because I'll always appreciate what he did for our country and what he did to wake people up to the reality of the Democrat Party. But bro, you guys have to understand, like, this is it. The majority of this country does not see the taboo behind the shot. Mm. We are talking about over 100 years of programming us to think that you could not be healthy in a normal society without shots. This isn't going to be solved in one conversation. And if anything, people should be grateful that this entire thing has brought this conversation onto the forefront. But I hate to break it to you guys, kids have been dying over the shit for a very long time, and parents have been told, well, we have no idea what it is, but that's the cause.
It's called SIDS. That's right, what they call it. They call it SIDS. That's why I talked to Christian Walker about this. I'm like, you really think that I'm going to be shocked that people are fainting, like adults, when I've literally spoken to parents? We have a mm-hmm. friend whose baby at 6 months did not wake up from the crib. We don't want to make this about the shots conversation. Erica, if you just got here and you asked about the attack on DeSantis, we personally don't know. We just hear what people say. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. I think it looks weak on Trump's part, but we don't know what's going on in the crazy mind of Trump. He's like another Kanye West. He's like another Gemini.
Well, he's a genius. And I'm going to stick to it. Trump is right now being reactionary. And I'm going to stick to what it is. He's being reactionary because he wants to protect what he's built. And what he's built is that right now, the attack, and what I believe that the people that are in DeSantis' ear trying to get him to run in 2024 mm-hmm. are the people within the Uniparty Republican Party that never wanted Trump to be in power because he threatens their power.
Right.
Because they're not America first.
They're not. I do want to pull up, going back to the Miami-Dade conversation real quick. Angel, can you pull up Ana Navarro's tweet, please? I need to talk about this for a second. Guys, we have so many racists, okay? And I'm going to tell you guys right now, I will drive the narrative of racism against Latinos because we have been dealing with racism for 2 freaking years. Mm-hmm. It's been 2 years of racist attacks nonstop. The racist white supremacist, mm-hmm. Caleb Freehunter, that has crashed our events before, taking down names, doxing parents. Mm-hmm. The only white person in Miami. What do you call a white person that is attacking Latinos? A white supremacist.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. When we talk about white supremacy, this is what we're talking about. It's the attack on Latino conservatives. Okay, we haven't been able to breathe. This is Ana Navarro's, and I want to get into who she is, what her husband is doing, and how ridiculous this is of her. This is Ana Navarro. If you guys don't know, she's the wackest person in the world. CNN commentator, calls herself a Republican. She's not a Republican. The reason why she says she's a Republican is because she wants to get on CNN and she wants to have a job. She's a grifter. If she put a D next to her name, she's not pretty enough to be there and she would have never gotten that role. But anyways, this is what she said. She blames the DeSantis win on mail-in voting. It's harder to vote by mail. Short and early voting. Created election police. Okay, so you just don't like election integrity.
Correct.
Okay, but let's continue. Arrested black people. Black people set up for voter fraud. Like one person. Let's continue. Created gerrymandered Republican map. Okay, that's called strategy. Got boosts from doing well post-Ian, which you guys wanted him to fail. You guys literally wanted dead people on the streets floating around in Southwest Florida, whatever, Fort Myers. You guys wanted people to die to make the government look bad. That's how psychotic you people are. You guys are psychotic, demented, demonic people. Anyways, registered GOP voters and courted Cubans. Cubans have been voting historically Republican since these people touched the ground of Miami. Courted Cubans, he courted everybody. He courted everybody. It was based on policy. How do you explain the other shift from other Latinos? 64% of other Latinos, meaning people like myself, I'm an immigrant, I'm Colombian, voting for DeSantis. How do you explain that? How do you explain the other people, the Nicaraguans, El Salvador, Brazil? Look at the geopolitical landscape in South America right now.
I just know
the entire map of South America is red. Mm-hmm. Brazil was lost to communism. Colombia was lost to Petro. Yes. All these people in South Florida freaking out about their home countries. Holy crap. Socialism spread from Cuba all throughout the map. Now we have two countries in Latin America, El Salvador, I forgot the other one, who are centrist, so-called a little bit conservative. The rest of the map, including the biggest countries, the biggest partners to the U.S., which are Colombia and Brazil, red, lost to socialism. Mm-hmm. That is how you also get, that's why I say, the landscape of Miami-Dade County cannot be replicated in Los Angeles or in Southwest Texas because the voters don't have the same priorities, the same mentality. Mexico is not Colombia, it's not Brazil. You see all these people, but people in Colombia are selling their homes, are traveling here.
Well, again, and you know what? Right before the part of courted Cubans, she's like, registered GOP voters. Yeah, Anna, that's kind of what we do. You're supposed to register voters. You guys have organizations that run 365 days a year registering voters. What you don't like is fair elections. That's what your bigger problem was. Guys, halfway through, just want to make sure that you guys please hit the like button so that we end up on that algorithm. Don't forget, 100% self-funded. Smash that like button and that subscribe and show us some support. Super chat open
now,
too.
And by the way, aside from this tweet, she also talks about misinformation. Let me tell you guys something about Ana Navarro. Ana Navarro is a rich person in Miami. Nothing wrong with rich people. I want to be rich too. Her husband is part of the executive board of directors from the new Latino media that just took over every single radio station in 10 states of America, including Radio Mambí, which was the historically Cuban right-wing radio station. They just took over. They just took over $80 million to fund Latino radio. They took over. Ana Navarro somehow, some way, is still finds a way to blame misinformation, blame election integrity, blame everyone else except her shitty party.
The misinformers. Ooh, booga booga.
Can you please pull up the other tweet from the Jen Psaki, whatever her name is. Psaki, so annoying, dude. Like, misinformation, this misinformation. We are literally like, they want to tell
everything.
Us.
Everything that challenges my narrative is misinformation.
Please,
everything.
You can go ahead and read this off.
Jen Psaki says, the Latino vote is not the same everywhere. There are huge generational differences, and in Florida, population of older voters, more likely Republicans, much larger than younger. Socialism does not play there. And there is a massive disinformation problem in Spanish language media. don't piss on my back and tell me that it's raining. You guys have spent the last 4 years selling communism to communist survivors, and you're wondering why people don't vote for you. The only misinformation is how you try to parade yourself around as Democrats and not the communist that you are.
Bro,
it's not rocket science, bro. You're communist. What? You're selling communism to communism survivors.
Where is this disinformation, misinformation, when we do not have a single Spanish media outlet that is unbiased, not Univision, not Telemundo? You know what they want? They want to take people like us offline.
Yep.
They want to take Otaola's offline. They want to take the YouTubers that my mother watches, I don't know their names right now, offline. They want to take any opposition for Spanish media offline so they don't have to compete based on ideology.
Why do you think that they're all having the meltdown right now about Twitter? They're like, oh my God, all these blue checks, there's just no way of knowing is really sharing information. Bro, you people have been filled with bullshit for years and have been allowed to run amok doing it, by the way, where your little blue check like that means anything. Ana Navarro, Billy Corbin, all of the local fucking little nerds that think that instead of truly opposing, I'd love to have a sit down with a freaking what's the name of
who,
the Goonies guy,
Fetterman?
No, not Fetterman.
Our local Fetterman,
Mike Rivero. I'd love to invite Mike Rivero on here. Like, sit down and have an actual debate with us, Mike Rivero. Well, you won't do it because you want to silence. You don't want to debate us. You don't want to debate the authenticity of our arguments, the fact that they are in fact valid. Because if somebody had to hear you go up against us, then they'd be able to make up their own mind and realize that you're full of shit. So the only way that you know how to interact is by calling us the scary misinformers. Ooh, and we should be so spooked out by them, and we gotta remove them off the internet because they're a danger to democracy.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. With that being said, Mike Rivero, who we've spoken about before, local activist, completely irrelevant. I don't want to give him a lot of attention on this chat. Today had the audacity to talk about Nick Fuentes. For those of you who don't know, Nick Fuentes is a so-called white supremacist, white nationalist. Don't think he's either. Maybe he's a white nationalist. I certainly don't think he's a supremacist. I wouldn't know. Maybe we can ask him ourselves one day. Nick Fuentes is one of the most banned individuals on the internet. He's not on Twitter. He's not on YouTube. He's not on Facebook. He's not on Instagram. He's not on, like, literally, like, just, I don't know even where he is. Telegram, and I think his website. Anyways, today Mike Rivero had the audacity to retweet somebody saying that, or no, he retweeted somebody and saying that people like Nick Fuentes, who are on YouTube and what's up, or was driving misinformation, also in Spanish media. What are you talking about?
The most bad, unrecognized guy by the GOP.
Nick Fuentes was so banned that they literally put him on a no-fly list. The ADL put him on a no-fly list. The kid is off the fly list, from what I understood on Telegram, because I keep up with like random things. But why can you guys just have some perspective and realize that your party in South Florida is not, the message is just not resonating because you guys are cringe and gay. I've said this many times. Have you tried not being cringe and gay? However, you guys cannot accept the reality that you're cringe and gay. If you try not being cringe and gay, you maybe would have more success. You're not attractive. You cry about everything. You were crying about a Jewish lesbian woman, our friend Jamie, because she retweeted you. Okay, you had a meltdown, an entire meltdown, because a female retweeted you. On top of the fact that anything, somebody touches you, you guys are claiming violence. You guys have claimed that memes are violence, words are violence. Miami people don't like people like that. Miami people fight for fun. Miami people are like the crazy people.
We're rowdy, we're loud.
Go on Only Indeed and see for yourselves the reality of our people. Okay? Why would you guys be so NPC and so, how do you call, like, everybody touches you, you melt and you glass, like you shatter. Why would you think that that's going to resonate with the Miami culture? That's not going to resonate here. That's why everyone's tired of you people. Thomas Kennedy lying on the floor so immigrants don't get deported back to Haiti. Then you get arrested and you... It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's true. Lying on the floor crying about Haitians.
Simple. The fuck, y'all are nerds, bro. That's it. That's it. It's that simple. You're all a bunch of fucking nerds. You don't have any truth to stand on. So you call everything that opposes you misinformation. You'll never come up against us in real life. You want to silence us. Take them off Twitter for ban evasion. You're nerds, bro. End of story. Anyway, let's go back to more nerds.
Before I go off on more nerds, I want to say that we are not looking at the wins in other states. Like, for example, our friend, AJ Katz. AJ Katz, if you guys don't follow her, she's a billionaire's daughter, literally, quite literally. Really, really nice girl. And she does a lot of groundwork in New York. She's actually like out there, like doing the work. New York under Zeldin, which is, I think he was running for governor, did not win, but he got a really large margin. New York is no longer a red state, a blue state. New York is a purple state. Now they have the majority Republicans in the New York House.
A little clap for New York.
Let's go. Let's go, baby. New York. New York also has the state assembly, if I'm not mistaken. I can't find her tweet or else I would put it up. And New York, Kathy, what's her name? I don't know how to say hello. Kathy Hochul, is that the governor that won? She got way less votes than Andrew Cuomo back in 2018. So we are making a lot of strides nationwide. We're just thinking of only Oz, Fetterman, whatever Fetterman Oz situation.
Which I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Because you know what it is? Everybody here's the thing, guys. There was World War II, right?
Right.
And then we had this great idea where somehow we had defeated the communist. But the truth was, we never defeated the communist. So since World War II, up until today, these people have been infiltrating our country and subverting our way of life.
Correct.
And it is so small-minded to think when the average person woke up in 2020, because the people that were awake prior to that are the minority. When the majority of people woke up in 2020, do you have any idea how arrogant it is for you people that needed an entire pandemic to wake up to the fact that we live in Truman's world, for you people to say that you're tired?
We're exhausted.
That you're fed up?
I'm literally exhausted.
Ask how much longer you have to wait. You think you're tired and you're fed up?
I've been awake since
2007.
Bro.
I found out about FEMA camps mass graves in 2012. Like, you think you're tired, bro? We're tired. And it's so frustrating you people have no kind of endurance whatsoever for this fight. It's like, well, something better happen fast. You people do not realize that this is not going to go away.
What are we going to do?
If you get Trump back in the White House tomorrow and he has another term, guess what? In 6 years, you're still going to be effed the same way that you are now, because these people do not play the instant gratification game. These people have been playing the long generational game for a very long time. And if you decide that you want to rise up and they just got to wait another 20 years to try and fuck us again, they're gonna do it. But people don't understand that this is the long game. The fight for your country cannot stop. No. So if you're one of these people, it's like, how much longer until we get there? We're never going to get there, bro. But we're never gonna get to the point where you don't have to participate.
The left
never.
Has been playing this game since, like, I don't even know since they've been playing this game, because they have taken over academia, they have taken over big pharma, they have taken over absolutely everything. So they have been playing the long game. Hollywood. I mean, we can go on and on for this. I don't have to tell you guys that. But let me tell you guys, finally found a tweet from AJ Katz. New York State is now purple. 15-point swing for Republicans in the governor's race. Picked up 4 Republican congressional seats, solidifying our majority in the House. You are welcome, America. Picked up assembly seats, destroying the Democrats' veto-proof supermajority. We're not counting on that. We're not saying these are wins, because all you guys want to see, all people want to see is little Oz winning. Trump. Oz was a terrible candidate.
Yeah,
Oz
bro. Was half a few people didn't even like candidate. Oz. Half of you were mad at Trump for endorsing Oz. And then all of you were like bummed out that Oz didn't win. You didn't like him, bro.
Nobody liked him.
You people didn't like him. Let's actually talk about what did happen in Pennsylvania that a lot of people are not talking about. You know who really did show up to vote for Fetterman in Pennsylvania? The under 30 crowd.
Gen Z showed up
and showed out. Clearly motivated probably by the overturn of Roe versus Wade, school loans, yada, yada, the usual suspects of what attracts the young vote over to the Democrat Party. Guys, please explain to me, what has the GOP done to attract Gen Zers?
Nothing.
Bro, I haven't seen one person in the GOP wearing Yeezys. Not one.
Their biggest strategy has been to get off TikTok because the Chinese wants to know when you're making Alfredo, chicken Alfredo pasta. And I have boomer freaking Republicans on my DM saying, I did it at TikTok because they want to know where I am at all times. Like, no, Martha, they don't want to see you taking your daily walks. The Chinese are not interested in you seeing your daily walks. That was a Republican strategy. And I talked about it in my story and I deleted it because I was getting so much shit from all these boomers and all this Gen X about, oh, TikTok, I can't believe you're pushing TikTok. TikTok is so bad. This person told me to delete TikTok. TikTok is where all the freaking retarded Gen Z people are. That's where my friend Victor, one of my friends, I rarely even paid attention. I was on the phone and he goes, you know, I went on TikTok the other day and I saw all these Fetterman stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I just kept typing. And he's like, yeah, man, like he's really big on TikTok. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Like I didn't pay attention. Today I see my friend Megan. My friend Megan is from Pennsylvania. And she's a native Philly girl. And she tells me, she voted Republican here in Miami. She tells me, well, what do you think about Pennsylvania? And I say, I don't know. I think that it could have been that, you know, the Fetterman was the better candidate for them, or that maybe there was some discrepancies. And she goes, no, you know, I really do think that the Democrats won. And I say, oh, okay, why is that? She's like, because I've seen so many of my friends from college. I've seen so many people that I know like this guy, post about it, brag about it, the whole thing. And she says, you know, when conservatives were making fun of him for the Eagles joke, so there's a video of Fetterman. He looks like a freaking Dr. Fester. What is it? Uncle Fester. And there's a video of Fetterman, and he says, the only thing better than the Eagles are, and then he pauses and laughs. He's like, haha, the Eagles. And if you're not from Philly, I'm not from Philly. So I saw and I was like, is this guy like another freaking Biden that he's just saying like random things and he's just dumb?
That's our impression.
Exactly. So he says this. And then she goes, you know, I understood the joke. I understood it because I'm from Philly. So unless you were from Philly and Pennsylvania overall, you wouldn't understand that he's talking about the rivalry between the Steelers and what are they all, the Eagles. And I said, oh wow, so this guy comes in wearing a hoodie, has a family. Dr. Oz didn't even live in Pennsylvania. Dr. Oz lived in New Jersey. Dr. Oz lived in New Jersey. That was a thing that I just don't understand from these people. Dr. Oz lived in New Jersey. And so I think that Fetterman was probably, they probably didn't care about his performance. Just like they didn't give a shit about Biden. Biden literally didn't show up to debate Trump like twice. They didn't care.
But the thing to me is just care. That like people are like surprised and it's like, bro, like, you didn't like this guy. You couldn't stand him. Everybody was like, oh, I can't believe that Trump would endorse Oz. Like, y'all were pissed off when he endorsed Oz, and you're mad that he didn't win. Like, it's not shocking. Let's just give a moment to a couple of people that have supported our channel and once again recognize that there are no Illuminati or lizard people behind our payroll. We are super self-funded, have to work really hard to also make the time to record our podcast. So our boy Shooter 305 with a $2 donation that always comes through. He Robert says, Lee. Miami deplorables leading the way. And we sure enough are. Mr. Robert Lee with a $5 donation says, por eso the left está tratando de asegurar su gloria por enseñar a los niños. They will have muchos soldados.
Hold up. Robert Lee, I want to admire this post because it's something that I have said before, where is that the left, what they're doing right now in schools, oh, yeah, is they're making Marxist militants. I repeat, Marxist militants. As you say, soldados, soldiers, militants, same shit. That's what they're doing. That's what the fight at the school is, the most important fight the parents can have. And that's what Governor DeSantis won.
Because this is the subversion that we're talking about. This is where communists are going. Communists are already securing their next war. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, all right, so this generation right now is waking up and we're not going to be able to take over the world with them here. Then let's just hit their kids. Mm-hmm. And let's go into the schools and let's teach them how glorious communism is. So when globalism takes over, it's no big deal. The kids are all in acceptance of it.
Eric Joseph, thank you so much. Always here. Always comes through,
Mr. Eric Joseph. damn, how can we win Gen Z without being cringe and gay? Bro, don't for be starters, cringe.
Don't be cringe and gay. It's very simple.
No, you know what?
If you're being cringe, just stop being cringe.
The GOP has to let go of dusty politics and they need to be flexible to adjust and change. It's kind of one of those things like this old dog has to learn new tricks. And the GOP has not embraced that kind of culture. Trump did. Trump understood the power of influencers and social media and the meme wars and the culture wars. Trump understood that because Trump has always been a cultural icon. But the GOP never liked that. Because what Trump did by doing that was that it exposed who the dusties were within the GOP mm-hmm. that had to go. You've got the people like the Lindsey Grahams of the world. It's time to go.
It's time to go,
bro. It's time to go. So oh what can God. They do? They can
it's
work
with
It's
time for Lindsey Graham to retire in Key West so he could buff fuck all the young guys that he wants. We're so tired of you. Get out of here.
What are
Get
some of the here. Things? What are some of the things that the GOP can do? Number one, working with young influencers. And I don't mean, you know, we were having this conversation. TPUSA is effective. But if you ask the GOP, what are you doing to attract people? And the only answer they can give you is TPUSA. Bro, TPUSA is cringe and gay to
Where
a lot
was
of
TPUSA?
Other people.
Actually, I've been asking conservatives about that and they can't tell me because they don't want to speak ill of Charlie Kirk. I admire Charlie Kirk. I think Charlie Kirk is a very smart man. His organization is not appealing to me because I am not their target demographic. However, again, this man built something as a college dropout. It's admirable. He got a $1 million donation just by talking someone's ear off. So I'd like to say that first because I'm not a hater. I don't hate on success. However, Turning Point USA has sold the idea that they're going to college campuses to fight against socialism and to get all these kids riled up and whatever, you know, fight the culture wars. How did that turn out during this election? We're talking about people, I think Turning Point USA got $67 million donation from donations last year. $67 million. They started a Turning Point USA PAC, whatever action, which is their sister company where they are able to endorse candidates and phone bank and do all the things at the grassroots level, which is great. However, why aren't we seeing any of those numbers come to fruition? Did you know, very important thing I'm about to say right now, in Michigan, in the University of Michigan, 96% of the vote in the University of Michigan, it was about 8,000 votes or something like that, all went to Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Only 6% of the vote went to the Republican candidate, Tudor Dixon, I think it's her name. She lost, obviously. We're talking about a state that was closed, had some of the harshest COVID mandates in the entire country. This woman refused to even give a little bit of freedom to people. She was possibly one of the worst governors up there with Cuomo and with Newsom. And
she restricted the sales of like random things at
Walmart.
Stores.
Correct. She won flying colors against the Republican candidate. And Michigan not only did Michigan win the governor election, they also won the state house. Michigan is now defeated the GOP in Michigan. Michigan is now a completely blue state in every single branch of their government. Every single branch of the government in Michigan.
That's what nightmares are made of.
That's so scary. That's very scary.
But we do need, you know, we do need to see a shift in how it is that the GOP attracts new people and how flexible it is that they are with kind of changing the way that they show up as is. Because right now they're very dusty. And it's not just that they're dusty and that they're willing to kind of, well, whatever it takes to attract a new vote. It's like they will sacrifice the new vote to not have to change the way that they operate right now.
Yeah.
Because it's so convenient for them.
Yeah.
A couple of other donations. I had another one up here. $5 from Robert Lee. Los republicanos subestiman el poder de woke y alphabet community. Yeah, they do. That the Republicans underestimate the woke LGBT community. Yeah, yeah. But on that same token, they also underestimate us, right? Because you know, I strongly believe that that was a huge driver to turning Florida red.
Yeah.
And that's more of what the GOP needs to do. We need more candidates that don't care about woke ideology. People that are not going to be scared that they're going to be called fascists, Nazis, racists, homophobes, xenophobes. If you're not scared of that, there's something that's a lot more based. There was someone had made the comment about that there's no conservative content on TikTok because
very
of young
hard.
Kids. It is
very hard because
we do
deleted.
Have them, but we do,
but they get deleted off. They get deleted off the app. Most people, you know, even Christian Walker, you consider somebody that's not extremely, you know, what would you say, radical or whatever. His entire account was deleted off TikTok. Most conservative influencers, unless it's podcast commentary and very surface level, you're going to get banned from TikTok. Now, I'll say this. Before we give a shout out to our boy here, Robert Lee, I'll say this. There is a segment of Gen Z who are extremely, I wouldn't say woke. I would say, what do we call it?
Aware.
Red-pilled, aware.
They are red-pilled. There's a shift going on in the culture.
Let me tell you guys who these people are and how we can approach them. So do you guys remember my far-right Latina video with this guy Logan that I did? He's a friend of mine. He's about 22 years old, 23 years old, whatever. He's Gen Z. And these kids are all very successful, health-driven individuals. A lot of them would listen to Andrew Tate. So they're from like the manosphere culture, mm-hmm. right? Which we talked about, a little bit of cringe too. Not him specifically, but the culture. Because sometimes they're shitting on women just to shit on women all the time instead of just, you know, being cool and masculine. But there is a segment of those people on Twitter, I've seen them on TikTok, mm-hmm. who are Christ-pilled. That's what they call it. So they believe in Christ. They're Christians. Mm-hmm. But they're not your average Christian people, right? And not to say that we're changing Christianity. No. It's just that they're not really focused on politics. They're saying, we're focused on me. I'm focused on getting, I'm lifting heavier and focused on, you know, they were doing the kids, there's like five of them at the Kaaba bar, right? They were doing, there's something October, Sober October. Mm-hmm. So no caffeine, no alcohol, no drugs, no tobacco, no kava, no, like nothing, right? So they have a completely different mentality than what the opposite of the Gen Z generation has. Mostly men, which is good. And they are on social media. A lot of them are e-commerce entrepreneurs. They don't even want to go to college. They're like, college is a waste of time. I could be making $100,000 a month just selling X, Y, and Z or teaching courses. Why would I do it? Those kids that we're not targeting because they don't even want to be involved in political process because the Sobras of the world.
Right.
Right. Those people, we could have a future with right. them if we were to approach it correctly and not send freaking Charlie Kirk to go try to talk to them. It's like when Charlie Kirk tried to hang out with Kanye West for years ago and he was just wearing weird clothes.
And mad cringe. Speaking of that, let's actually, before we wrap up, I think that we should talk about Candace Owens because we know that there's a lot of people talking about the current flip on Trump and where it is that's coming from. So for those of you that are unaware, Candace Owens put out a video yesterday saying that she had actually been left with a bad taste in her mouth towards the end of Trump's presidency and that apparently they really haven't had much of a relationship since then. She claims that she made some comments about him basically being a boomer for pushing the shot and that Trump had something to say about her. And I mean, I don't doubt that that's maybe necessarily true. I just think that the timing of it mm-hmm. is so bizarre because mm-hmm. it seems like in a matter of 48 hours from the election cycle, all these big MAGA in conservative people that owe their entire platforms and their whole bits to Donald Trump and the MAGA movement mm-hmm. have now turned away from MAGA and are saying that it's time for us to walk away from Donald Trump and the mm-hmm. MAGA movement. Right. And it's just, again, no loyalty, no honesty, but it seems so coordinated to me at the same time that it's really difficult for me to imagine that there isn't some kind of backdoor coordination with either the GOP or the unit party or the talking heads of the agencies that represent them or whatever not. But we are watching that.
They did it to Christ.
Así fue. Así fue.
Así fue. Cuando así fue. Judas.
Judas. The Judases of the world. Are we saying
they did it to Christ?
Are we saying that Candace is a Judas?
I'm not saying Candace is a Judas. I really like Candace. Candace and Matt Walsh are the only reason why I pay for the cringe Daily Wire. Ben Shapiro. I hate Ben Shapiro, but I still support him because of Candace and the other ones. Real quick to some of our donors. Thank you so much. Where is Robert Lee? Thank you so much. $10 donation. No soy racista, pero cuando era profesor, había las escuelas que tenían muchos alumnos latinos, pero los profesores eran woke African Americans. Enseñaban a los alumnos de BLM, Obama, Kamala Harris. For those of you who don't speak Spanish, he's basically saying that he's not a racist, but when he was a teacher at public schools, he would notice that a lot of the African American teachers would teach Latino kids about Obama, Black Lives Matter, and, you know, their little idols within the black community. Eric Joseph, thank you so much. Nelk is effective at winning Gen Z without being cringe. And Trump had them on stage at his rallies.
Yep.
Trump brought those kids up.
Because Trump understood the culture.
Trump was with these kids. Nelk is definitely, for sure, winning the culture wars with the Gen Z. I totally agree with that. Erica Torres, thank you so much. $10 donation. I'm a native from New York. I'm a native New Yorker. I'm also an independent voter that leans right. The Democrats canvassed, mailed flyers, and sent texts. I didn't receive any information from the GOP. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I actually, you know, I'm thinking about it. I don't think I received anything from the GOP.
Let's talk about that for a second.
I did mailers.
For a small state representative campaign, each mailer campaign costs $15,000. Each door knocking campaign costs double that. Now, multiply that towards the number of flyers that you get in the mail. So 15, let's say you're getting 3 flyers in the mail from Democrats. Now you're talking about $45,000 a week just in mailers, plus the additional $25,000 in door knocking campaigns that you want to do. The reason why I bring up these numbers is because it's incredible to me when people say that people that are running for public office or the organizations that support them are grifters because they ask for money.
You have no idea how much
For those of you that are unaware, a Trump endorsement cost money. In order for Trump to endorse you and say, I'm backing so-and-so's campaign, your campaign must have raised $50,000 in order for Trump to endorse you. Everything in this world costs money.
Everything.
The people that are like, oh, you know, the journalists that are, you know, they've got Buy Me Coffees and they've got donation links and they've got everything. Bro, people cannot live off air. I'm not sure if you realize that George Soros just put $80 million into buying small radio stations. This idea that anybody who needs money, anybody that needs money in order to operate is kind of how the world works. And if you're not donating your time to knock on doors for free, if you're not donating your money because you think everybody's a grifter, but then you sit on the internet and you complain about the people that are doing the things that they need to, how they're grifters, and not doing anything outside of that, just complaining about how nothing ever happens and we're never going to win. And the people are still cheating. You are part of the problem and part of my annoyance as when I wake up every single morning. I don't have anything in common with you people because you don't exist in the real world. I had a troll come to me on my Truth Social and the words, his exact statement was, real patriots are broke doing this.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Bro, what kind of bum ass mentality is that?
Dude,
you
honestly
need to be broke? Bitch, I work a full-time motherfucking job. And if I make a couple of dollars off my podcast, I'm going to do that too because there's a shit ton of time I'm dedicating to this that you guys don't know about.
By the way, Angel is our el testigo aquí, or testimony, that we have made no money from this podcast at all. If anything, we've invested money in the podcast to make things happen. Shit, I gotta pick up our business cards tomorrow.
Okay, holler.
If anything, we've invested our own money and any donations, which are actually being held by YouTube right now because we have a problem with the account, you know, would go to paying Angel and the studio, because everything costs money. So it's very unfortunate that people think that way. And with that being said, Jen Key, thank you so much for your donation as well. We truly appreciate that. You don't live in reality. You know, everything is expensive. If you want to run a campaign, if you want to run an effective campaign, just even if you want to go on the cheap side and get Facebook ads, even that, you're going to have to pay Facebook to get those ads in front of your audience. So it's really weird that people
we're
just think
that way. Towards, so a couple of thank yous, you guys. Wow, so much support, you guys. We really appreciate it. The lizard people are really pissed off about all the support you guys are showing us. So Paolo Ramirez says, what they are doing to Trump right now is what they did to Julius Caesar.
Applause.
Straight backstabbing DeSantis can very well be the Brutus. Oof.
Judas.
Damn. Paolo dropping socks Paolo right now.
Popped off.
That's the problem, bro. You guys, you have to understand, Trump is big on loyalty.
You're watching Trump right now.
You guys are like, what is he doing? Division is because you don't see what's happening behind the scenes. And Trump is sending a big fuck around and find out. You want to come at me? I'm going to drop the sauce on you. Oh, which is the perfect time to let you guys know. Mr. Roger Stone was on our show a week and a half ago. We are unable to upload that video into our YouTube channel because YouTube hates Roger Stone and will censor us. So we will be dropping our first episode on Rumble tonight after this podcast that will be Mr. Roger Stone actually talking about this very situation. He predicted that this very situation would happen 2 weeks ago, and he's known for quite some time. He's been calling out Ron DeSantis for some time. And again, for those of you that are confused, Trump is not fighting DeSantis right now. He's sending a message to the Unit Party that's trying to push DeSantis to get into the race against him, not because they truly believe that DeSantis can carry the MAGA vote, but because they want to split the vote and weaken our party.
Despicable goons.
So please, guys, once we get off of here, if you can, go onto our Rumble channel, Mostly Peaceful Latina, subscribe there and catch that episode of with Mr. Iconic, Mr. Roger Stone, where he drops some really good information.
Guys, listen to me. Today's Thursday. I'm sure tomorrow, I don't know what you guys have going on. We don't do anything. But if you want and you have time, watch the Get Me Roger Stone documentary on Netflix. Iconic.
Yeah, truly iconic.
I know he comes off like a sleazeball. I know he comes off like a crazy person. I'm telling you right now, iconic.
We got a couple of other donations.
How do you say this name? I don't want to say it wrong.
Which one are we on right
19,
now?
Nugent.
Yes. Wait, did we say Jane K? Thank you so much for the $9.99. Paolo Ramirez, we already went through that. Nugent, I always enjoy hearing your perspective. Thank you so much for hanging on. I know that you're in our chat all the time and we appreciate you so much. Stacy Valverde, we have a $40 donation. Come to Nevada and help us chase out these dusties. Enough with the mamadas over here.
Seriously.
We might have to take MPL on tour. Tour and go to all of the battleground states.
My colleague and acquaintance, so tired right now. She's working on the Adam Lacks campaign, Courtney. So sorry. And we're waiting on that campaign as well. There's still those ballots, I guess, are still right. If I'm not mistaken, Stacey, can you put that in the chat if you know about what I'm talking about? I think it's running for a senator or something like that. We're still waiting for some Nevada votes. Unfortunate, Nevada used to be a very red state. It no longer is a red state. In fact, I experienced the stupidity of the governor of Nevada when I went to Vegas last year, and they implemented the mask mandates out of nowhere. Started gave us masks in the middle of a line. We were waiting to get inside of the club, one of the clubs in Vegas. It was absolutely ridiculous. Susie Baca, $9.99. Thank you so much. Erica Mejia, thank you so much.
You guys have been so supportive.
Thank you so much.
We're getting towards the end of the podcast, guys. We do want to open up just for a few minutes for questions before we wrap up for the day. And we are thinking of other ways of getting out to you guys more often. Clearly, you know, the studio and the high production value and being self-funded limits to what we can do. But maybe me and Linda going on lives or something along those lines, maybe more often. But we are thinking of other creative ways of getting information out to you guys. But in the meantime, let's go ahead. Let's take some questions.
New Mexico, right? That was another red state. Nevada, Colorado. Yeah, Colorado is also where we're waiting on Lauren Boebert. I know Lauren Boebert, so sorry, was up by, I think she was trailing behind her opponent, and I think she's up by like 50-point-something percent. I know Marjorie Taylor Greene like swept through that race, like absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like she immediately won. We're obviously wearing on Kerry Lake and Maricopa County. We heard that they put fences at the Maricopa County.
So so apparently the sheriff's department is
Lauren won. Lauren won.
Is it confirmed? Somebody confirm right now. Confirm for us the Lauren Boebert one, because we're going to freak the fuck out. We're going to have a party right now.
Where is it? I'm going on Twitter right now.
The sheriff's department is actually on the roof of the Maricopa County Tabulation Center as they're counting the vote. So there is a lot of attention on Maricopa. Mm-hmm. We know that Maricopa was in the news in 2020. We know that there were a lot of inconsistencies there. We know that right now, apparently, they're the only state, the only county that needs 3 weeks to count votes. Neither here nor there. Apparently, from my understanding, we're not going to have answers out of Arizona until next week. They're going to shut down tomorrow for Veterans Day, for the holidays and for the weekend, and they'll be back next week counting. I'm still waiting to hear about Boebert. If that's the case, guys, hang in there, man. Like, I know the media has really psyoped a lot of you into thinking that there was no red wave. We are making traction. Yeah. And the problem is that when people are not involved, they don't realize how difficult it is to move the needle just by a little bit, just by a tiny bit. And when the people that are involved tell you, shit, this is a huge win, we did it, and the people who are couch anarchists say like, oh, that's it, like, oh, we're going at this pace and we're never, bro, you're shitting on the progress that is taking place. And the truth is that a lot of races that people were not paying attention to, a lot of local races did turn red. There was a local red move of sorts. Places that were historically blue turned purple. Places that were purple turned up. But places that were purple turned red. Absolutely. So do not let the media allow you to be discouraged because we lost Dr. Oz that you people didn't even like.
Right. Wait, Stacey says 98% reports. She's at 50.2%. That's interesting. So she hasn't won just yet. I think the Kerry Lake situation is going to extend past the weekend. I don't think we're going to have results on Arizona probably till next week. I actually saw someone yesterday say that they would be willing to work through Thanksgiving and Christmas. Please explain to me how it is that Florida is able to get their votes counted in one night, but Arizona can't. Like,
even California got their
dude. Colombia knew who the president was within hours. Brazil knew who the president was within hours. And somehow a United States state cannot get it together. It's extremely shady. This is why people have questions about elections, right? People don't have questions about elections just because their candidate won. That's why we say Gen Z drove the votes for this person. We're not here crying, saying that everything is fraud, because it's not true. However, when these situations happen, like what's happening in Arizona, this is why people get into the mentality, hey, potentially, maybe there could be some shady stuff going on.
We got questions.
Lauren is on.
We got a donation here from RotzyB78 with a $5 donation saying, love you, ladies. Keep grinding. And he says, get on Rumble. We are on Rumble. Please, guys, once we get off here, go on Rumble, look up the Mostly Peaceful Latinas channel, and check out our interview with Roger Stone. It was killer. He offered so much insight. He's so knowledgeable, truly an icon. We had a couple of really interesting questions that we asked, and we just can't post the content here. With that said, I think that we're getting towards the end of our show, guys. Please don't forget, support us by sharing the podcast with your friends, subscribe to our channel and hit that like, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We truly, truly appreciate all your support. Once again, please share our content. And we will let you know on our Mostly Peaceful Instagram and also Bella's Telegram when the Roger Stone interview, which we should do it right after this drops. Paolo, thank you so much. Carrie Hobbs is still involved with the Secretary of State.
And she's Arizona. Overseeing the election results. She's in there counting her own votes, apparently.
That's absolutely amazing.
She's in there counting her own votes, because that's... But remember, guys, don't be an election denier.
Don't be an election denier.
Until next time.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys. See you next week. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, hablando con los ojos.
Thank you.